Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Very unique small business website, folks. Some stuff there, you'll get stuff there that you won't get anywhere else on the planet. So I hope you use it to your advantage. It's all free, no barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you in. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and check out our blog while you're there. I don't know what's going on, but you guys are using the blog like crazy. So I'm very happy about that. So good for you, and I'm glad it's working out for you. It's because it's working out for me too. Bill Hubbard is our guest. He's our good friend, a longtime member of our Brain Trust, an original member actually, the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, the author of The Medical Privacy Rule, and just the smartest guy when it comes to managing and employing and working with the human beings that we have in our organizations of anybody on the planet, and he's my good friend. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Jim. Always glad to be here. After you give me this introduction, I always feel like, gee, these are such big shoes to step into.
It's like when people introduce me, I look behind me. What are they talking about? No, it's all true, Bill. Okay, today you want to talk about minimum wage.
Yes.
Now, my audience is rolling their eyes, Bill. They're saying, oh, no, don't get him started on minimum wage again, because they know this is one of my pet peeves.
Well, then we better kick it around a little bit because it's coming down the pike.
It's becoming more peevish to me.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So okay, go ahead.
I'm in Illinois.
I'm gonna let you have your thoughts on minimum wage first. Go ahead.
Well, my main thought is just to let folks know what's going on out there, so
exactly,
that they can adapt and get ready for it and do what they need to do to plan their businesses and decide how they're going to pay their employees.
Absolutely.
In a way that's going to comply with the law.
So you're in Illinois, and Illinois has its own minimum wage, doesn't it?
Illinois has its own minimum wage. In fact, most of the states have their own minimum wage.
Not most. Now, Bill, not most states.
A significant number.
Many states. But not over. Not over half of the states have minimum wage, do they?
I'm not sure of a precise number.
I think it's less than half. I think it's maybe in the teens or something like that. So I don't want to give them more credit than they deserve.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
But the point is, if you're in a state with a minimum wage, take a look at what's happening there, because I have seen some things come across my desk that show that various states are raising their minimum wage or are considering it or have done it recently. In the area that I'm located in Illinois, we have raised it a couple of years ago, and it's coming up again in July, this coming July.
What is minimum wage in Illinois right now?
Illinois currently is $6.50.
Yeah.
Come July 1, it will be $7.50.
Ah.
And that's a 35% jump. That's a very significant.
And so if you have a business that relies on, you know, that has a sector of your workers that are minimum wage, you're bringing in people who don't even know, you know, they almost don't know how to use a you know, they have no skills, zero skills. They're literally almost a liability to you in the early days. You're literally teaching them everything they need to know about working. If you have a business that relies on that kind of those kinds of folks, then that portion of your payroll is going to go up 35%.
There's going to be a big jump there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big jump. A couple of the kinds of businesses that I've been working with recently, some of it is some park districts, which are public sector, but then very closely related to that is some landscaping firms. And these are organizations that tend to use a large number of unskilled workers, and they tend to pay pretty close to minimum wage.
Yeah.
And so we're looking at what's happening with the legal requirements and what strategies they need to implement to make sure that they're going to be paying their employees according to the law. So there's a lot happening.
Don't some cities have a minimum wage? Aren't there some cities that have? Doesn't Philadelphia maybe have its own minimum wage?
There's a few cities. Chicago was kicking it around in the past year.
Yeah, they got. I think the mayor killed that, didn't he?
It got voted down, and then the state came through. So the governor kind of picked up and followed through in part form. But they were even going to push it even higher up to, as I recall, reading some of the news stories, up to almost $10 an hour. So it can have some significant impacts. In the Chicago case, it dealt in large part with major retailers coming into the area,
mm-hmm.
and groups that were advocating, well, we need to have a living wage, and pushing for the various things. And ultimately, the city did not pass it. Legislative portion of the city tried to put it through, but the mayor declined mm-hmm. to pass it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still a pending issue, and regardless of whether you're in the city of Chicago or anywhere across the country, I think it's equally important to note that both houses of Congress have passed different versions of the federal minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
And so that one is now sitting in Congress and in committee, and they're sorting out some of the variations between those two bills that once they get it together, then they can get it presented to the president for his consideration.
The House passed the bill unencumbered, meaning no riders, no attachments, no ameliorating benefits for small business owners, nothing at all. In other words, the House basically said, we don't care about small business. We know that the minimum wage, we're not dumb. We know the minimum wage is going to hurt small businesses, but we're going to pass it anyway, and we're not going to make the medicine go down any easier. We're just going to give it to them straight. The Senate, on the other hand, has passed it apparently, and I'm not positive that it's, has it actually gotten out of the Senate now, Bill?
I'm not sure that it's.
I think it may not have. May not have gotten out of the Senate, but I do know that there was an $8 billion sack of goodies to sort of offset this a little bit for small business. They got pared down by some folks to under $2 billion, and that's attached to the Senate bill. But then, as you say, regardless of when it gets out of the Senate, it is going to get out of the Senate, I think, and it'll go to committee, and then they'll work that out, won't they?
Yeah, and the financial numbers of the basic element of the minimum wage are the same with both versions.
Right. 715, or is it 725, is that where it's going?
It will end up at 725 in about 2 years. The first step, currently it's 515 an hour. It will jump from there to 585 an hour after 60 days, and then to 655, and then to 725.
Yeah. So, folks, it's going to go up, what is that, 40% or so in a couple of years? Pretty dramatic. Stand by. Bill Hubbard is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. More to come after these messages.
Smiling inside.
It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend William Hubbard, William S. Hubbard. He says we can call him Bill. Bill is the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy. And give us your website, Bill.
Hubbard.com, and that's HUBBART.com. And there's information there on my human resources consulting, some of the books that I've done. Some of the article archives that match some of the things that are on the Small Business Advocate website as well.
Right. And also policy manual, help with policy manuals and things like that too, right?
Anything related to HR, policy manuals, handbooks, compensation, training, basic legal compliance issues in terms of how to comply with state and federal employment laws, be happy to provide some advice and direction.
And, folks, I encourage you to check that out. Don't forget the medical privacy rule. Is that dot info?
Dot info.
Medical privacy.
Medical privacy dot info.
Dot info, okay. Bill, we're talking about the minimum wage issue that's racing through Congress these days. We're pretty sure if it does get out of committee, If they do come up with a bill, the president will sign it. So, folks, I think, and I predicted this, folks, if you remember, I predicted that this would get done, and it's actually taken a little longer than I thought it would. I thought it would already happen. Bill, is there any occasion where someone is justified, is legal, to not pay minimum wage?
There are some exceptions for learners and trainees that deal with that are permitted within the minimum wage issue.
Now, tell us who those people might be.
Well, the most common one that we would recognize or identify is tipped employees.
Right. So and a waitress or a waiter, somebody like that, that might get might earn quite a bit through tips. It's okay to pay them.
We can pay them a reduced amount. Now, the material I have in front of me is the Illinois, and I don't want to give too much of a limited information there, but
right.
there would be a reduced amount that would be permitted for...
Currently, I think that number's in the 350 range, isn't it? Something like that?
That sounds about right.
Folks, that's just a rough estimate. Okay, go ahead.
So that's the key area. If you have learners, which would be like if you're looking at hiring high school kids or
right.
someone who's under 18, then there's an example there where you can also provide a little bit less than the full wage. But then be careful with that one because there's also child labor limitations
right.
that say do not put these people in dangerous occupations, do not have them operating different kinds of equipment.
So it is possible to bring someone in with absolutely no skills, just somebody who's just thrilled to get some kind of work and please teach me how to behave myself in a workplace. I mean, I don't even know where the bathroom is. If it is possible to pay somebody like that a lower wage.
It is possible. One of the things that I encourage some of
not only possible, but legal.
Yes. And one of the things that I encourage clients is work with your local community college or work with your local high school and have one or two students come in on a cooperative educational program where they're learning, you're paying them a very basic wage, and then you can kind of groom them into becoming good employees, and as they gain experience and knowledge and skills uh-huh. and so on, then you can promote them in, of course, to full-time work and grow some good employees that way, because one of the things that we're also seeing kind of coming down the pike is there's concerns about where are we going to get skilled workers when we need skilled workers?
Right.
And
it's already happening.
It's happening, and a lot of our kids coming out of the school today, if the job doesn't involve a computer and $50,000 a year, they don't want to think about it.
Right.
But there's a real need in most businesses to have some basic skilled operations and operative kinds of tasks that are involved with either operating equipment or making equipment or setting it up or repairing it or maintaining it, and every organization needs to have folks that are skilled with this type of activity as well as the white-collar kind of activity that is typically what is a lot of the kids are looking for these days.
Right, right. No question about that. Bill, the problem with minimum wage for me is not so much the amount of the money, because most small business owners are paying their employees more than minimum wage anyway.
That's true.
And so I've never paid anybody minimum wage. In fact, I hired we had an intern last year that came to me with certain skills, and I paid him. He was an intern who didn't expect to be paid anything, and I paid him $6 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And he was thrilled to get it because he was expecting to get nothing. But he has some skills, and I said, hey, I can use what you know. And so we paid him that. So it's not like I'm interested in starving people to death. What drives me crazy as an absolute person who bleeds free marketing, the free market, is that the government is telling me how much to pay people. That's really sticks in my craw.
Understand.
And that the government would increase this and arbitrarily decide. I mean, Bill, why don't we make it $15 an hour? Let's make everybody. Why don't we make it $1 million a year? Let's make everybody rich.
We've already got a significant portion of our manufacturing jobs overseas for that very reason.
That's exactly right. For a lot, and anyway, folks, I hope you appreciate my restraint today and not getting on my soapbox too much. Bill, thank you for being here. Good job today. Thanks for bringing us this outstanding information. And would you please give us your website again, please?
www.hubbard.com, HUBBARTT.
Two B's, two T's. He's the man. Bill, thank you for being here. Good job today.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Quick break, right back with a new friend, Jan Crawford Greenberg. We're going to talk about those nine favorite friends of ours up there in Washington, D.C., the Supreme Court. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.